Good evening, everyone. I want to thank you for having me over here again. And I wonder if we could open up to the book of Romans this evening. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you that we can say that we are yours, Lord, as Travis sang in his song, and we belong to you, Lord, and we thank you that you're a real God, Lord, and we're not praying to some statue or bowing down to some image, Lord, or bowing our hearts and our lives to you, Lord Jesus, someone that's real, who died and rose again and is alive forevermore. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray for tonight. Lord, we just pray for the guiding of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for your great love and all that you do for us. And we thank you, Lord, for that you're a righteous judge also. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, I wanted to, before I was preparing for this message, I went through, just the hardest thing for me is just trying to pick out a subject to speak on, and I always struggle with that. My wife can tell you, and I went through like three different subjects to try to find a message, and finally the Lord kind of laid this one on my heart. And a lot of times in church or in Christian circles, Bible studies, we always talk about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and all those things are great and they are very important. And we do have a God of love, a God of mercy and grace. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be standing here today. And but I also want to talk about tonight about the wrath of God and how God is a righteous judge, and the anger of God also. But if it wasn't for those attributes of him, we wouldn't be standing here today also and having that faith in him. And we're going to see why later tonight as we go on. And a particular passage that we just opened up here in Romans is speaking about the wrath of God, and how in verse 18 it says there, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And how did God reveal his wrath to mankind? And I'm sure a lot of you can remember through Scripture. I was going to look at a couple examples this evening from Scripture, mainly in the Old Testament, about the wrath of God and what he had to do and to deal with sin. And we think a lot of times that as we're growing up, we think of God like I was a child, and you always thought of God as this old bearded guy, any wrong false move you make, he'd judge you or punish you for it. But thank goodness he's a long suffering God, and he's a God that he will wait on us, and he wants us, he loves us too. But he also has to deal with sin also, and he won't tolerate it for too long. And so I'd like to look at a few examples from Scripture. And the first one I'd like to look from the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And if you can, maybe keep your finger there in Romans, because we're going to come back to that passage a little later. But over in Genesis, chapter 18, we're going to look at Sodom and Gomorrah and God's dealing with them. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 16. Now here these three men, as a lot of you know this story, these three men appear to Abraham, and they make the announcement to Sarah that she's going to have a son, and they talk with her about it and everything, and then later on down through this chapter here, in verse 16, it says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." So here, these men that were visiting with Abraham started to head towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord, at first he said, "Shall I reveal this to Abraham what I'm going to do to this city, that I'm going to destroy it?" And he wanted to hold it back from Abraham. He didn't want him to reveal this to him. But then he realized that, Abraham wanted to do the right thing. And Abraham, he realized that Abraham loved him and he wanted to follow him wherever he wanted to go. So now God reveals to Abraham what he's going to do here. In verse 21, he says, "I'm going to go down now to this place and I have to see what's going on, because I've heard the cry of these people and their cry is very great." As we all know, as later on, as you read down into chapter 19, how Sodom, we get that word Sodomites today. It was a very, very wicked city, almost comparable to nowadays. Things are getting worse and worse, as we all know, around us. And the sins there were very great before the Lord. And he was hearing the cry of certain people. And he had to deal with this sin that was happening in this particular city. So then in verse 22, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" I really like that little passage right there at the end. "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And of course we know that God, everything he does is right. And a lot of times our ways and his ways, we question God sometimes the way he does things, because we don't see the big picture, do we? We're not everywhere. We're not all knowing like God. And God has his plan. And the way he carries things out, we kind of scratch our heads and wonder why innocent people die. Like the other day, that shooting down in Alabama, we see the senselessness in that. And we wonder why these things happen. And why do these innocent children, these innocent people are executed in such a way? And it's probably, it's because of sin, of course. And it's because we're a fallen world. And we're in the last days, and the love of many will wax cold, and those things are going to happen. And, but it's all part of God's plan, and we can't understand it all. But we know that God will judge the people in his way, in his time, in his will. And that's what Abraham's doing here. He hears about how God's going to destroy this wicked city, but Abraham questions him. He says, "Well, if there's just a few people, there's only at least 50 righteous people, will you have mercy on this city? Will you not destroy it?" And in verse 26, the Lord answers him. "And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." So we can see the grace of God here. He says, if I find 50 people, then I will spare this wicked city. And then on down the next four or five verses here, Abraham goes down to 40. If there's 40 people, will you spare the city? And he goes to 30 and then 20. And he goes on down, and the numbers are getting smaller and smaller, because God's telling them, well, there's not even 20 people. There's not even 10 people, hardly, that are righteous. And the only righteous person, of course, was Lot. And Lot sent two angels. In verse 19, he sent two angels to get Lot out of the city. And he went through some troubles there before they, you know, that night. These angels had to go to him, and these people were trying to do their thing with Lot and everything. And finally, they were able to. They had practically had to drag him out of the city, drag him and his wife and his children out of the city to get him out of there. And as soon as they were far enough away from the city, of course, we know that the Lord rained down fire and brimstone upon the whole city and was destroyed to the ground, as we all know. So there's one example of God's judgment, but also, you know, God's not willing that any will perish, as we know in verses in the New Testament. And here, you know, the Lord, you know, Abraham was interceding for these people. He wanted to see the city spared. He wanted to see the righteous people spared. But God could not find any righteous people. And he was a fair judge, and he had to do this job. And he had to wipe out this city because of their great wickedness. And, you know, you think of other examples over in the book of John, where Jesus, you know, he comes into the temple one day, and he saw the people in the temple there. They were selling and buying and trading and doing all these things. Probably had unfair things going on, unfair balances and weights. And the Lord Jesus saw these things, and he got very angry. And I really don't like how these TV shows, they portray this scene, because you know, I believe Jesus, I think physically, was probably a pretty strong person. And these tables that he overthrew, these weren't just little wooden tables, I think. I think they were big stone tables back in those days. They built everything big and bulky. And I think the Lord, you know, he was a carpenter. He was probably a pretty strong man. And he went through and he said he flipped over these tables and these chairs. He made a whip. And he was driving people out of this temple. And they saw that they were scared. Nobody stopped him. Nobody stood up to him. Because they saw his anger. They saw his zeal for God. Jesus wanted to see things done right. And, you know, God is the God of anger, too. And he wants to judge it. He wants to take care of things in his way. And I believe that, you know, that's an example there of how Christ's anger was portrayed in his sin. And he dealt with it. And he drove out that sin that was in his father's house there in the New Testament. I also want to look over in the book of Numbers. Another example of God's judgment against sin. Book of Numbers, chapter 16. And starting at verse 1. And this here is the story of Moses and Korah and Dathan. Now, Korah and Dathan were Levites, and they were men chosen. The Levites, as you know, were the chosen men to do service in the Lord's tabernacle. They were priests. Certain of them were high priests. Not all of them, but certain men were picked as high priests, and they were doing service of the Lord in the tabernacle, as I said. And here, Korah has some other ideas, as we'll see in verse 1. It says, "Now Korah and the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, on An, the son of Peleph, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princesses of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown." Excuse me. "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." So here, Korah and these men, Dathan and others, they were gathered up, 250 of them. They go up against Moses. And in verse 3 here, they go up against them, and they say that, you know, who decided to make you boss? Why are you taking upon yourself to be the leader of all of us? And, you know, we don't believe that you should be the one that's in charge of everything. And these men started to rebel, and they didn't agree with the way Moses was handling things. And in verse 4, Moses heard it, and he fell upon his face. And he spoke unto Korah, unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take ye censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. So here, Moses, of course, he's very upset about this rebellion that these men are portraying to him, and he gets upset. He says, all right, tomorrow we're going to go to the Lord about this, and we're going to handle it in the Lord's way. And he tells them to take up these censers and put this fire in them, and the Lord will choose to see who's really in charge or not, who's really holy before him, who has the right attitude. And Moses is challenges Korah and Dathan to do this. And then Moses says in verse 8, he says unto Korah, hear, I pray, you sons of Levi, it seems but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. You know, Moses is saying here, you know, it may seem small to you, but God has chosen you men to do service in the tabernacle. It's a very important job. It's a very, it's a quite a high position, and yet you're not satisfied with that. You want what I have. You want my position, Moses is saying, in other words. And Moses can understand why these men want to rebel like this. And then verse 10, he says, And he brought thee near unto him, and all thy brother, and the sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? So he's telling them, you know, you brought all these people with you, and now you only just want the priesthood, you also want to murmur against Aaron and against him also. So then now in the rest of the verses here, Moses calls out Dathan, this other man. It tells him to come out. And Dathan wouldn't even come out to him. Dathan said, no, I'm not even going to come out there and talk with you because I don't agree with what's going on. He says, you brought us out to this land, out in this wilderness. You promised us a land that's going to flow with milk and honey. You're going to give us all these things. And yet it's not happening. We're stuck here in this desert. And he says, we're not even going to bother with you, Moses. And then Moses, he gets very angry. And I can't remember which verse it was. 15, thank you. And Moses was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Moses says, I haven't taken anything from these people. I've respected them. I've done what I can for them to the best of my ability, and yet you're acting this way towards me, Moses is saying. And so they go on, they take this Korah and his men, they take their censers, they put fire in them, and they come up to their tents. And then in verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And then the glory of the Lord appears to all of them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Here God makes his judgment right away. God knew these men's hearts, they weren't going to change. And they needed to be dealt with. And that the rebellion wasn't going to stop. Sorry, in verse 22, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? So here Moses, you know, he wanted to give them one more chance and one more shot, like Moses, like Abraham did for the city of Sodom. And so here, in verse 22, he falls on his face before the Lord. He says, Lord, just will you please, if there's just one righteous person within this congregation, will you have mercy upon him? And the Lord spoke unto him, in verse 23, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abram. And then on down, because of time, it's getting pretty long here, as we read on through the rest of the chapter, you know, Moses separates himself from Korah and Dathan, and Moses says, you're about to see what's going to happen here. You're going to see who the Lord really chooses, who's the one that's really righteous, who has the good attitude, who wants to be the right leader. And then suddenly the Lord opens up the earth, and it swallows up Dathan and Korah and all his 250 men. It opens up and it swallows them and their families, and it closes back up again. So here the Lord passes his righteous judgment to these people because of what they've done, because of their rebellion against him and Moses. Let's take a look over in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16.